Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Weird Renegade Witches Blog. This is the motherfucking What's Up. And of course, I'm going to open up the energies and the vibrations with the ancestors from the past, present, and the beginning. And the bottom line is this: I'm going to pull the ancestors from DC, Maryland, and Virginia because I need you guys to speak today. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to bring in Sandy first, and of course I'm going to bring in our guest. Sandy, can
Hello?
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. So I know you've been sitting by and waiting and wanting to ask questions, and you got a lot of shit to say and get off your chest. So about especially with some of the subjects that we have. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to bring in our guest, and I'm going to let him introduce himself.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, are you right there and ready?
I'm ready. I never keep ladies. Listen, I never keep ladies waiting. How you doing today? And how you doing, Sandy?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's so good to finally talk to you, meet you.
Oh, it's nice to meet you too. Thank you.
Okay.
I can't wait to hear what you got to say. I know. So please introduce yourself.
I most certainly will. And thank you, ladies, for having me on. I appreciate it. Much respect to both of you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
My name is Bagugavat, and I know that sounds strange, but I'm the dark gatekeeper. I'm the dark gatekeeper of DC and the dark seer sometime as well. Depending on who I'm dealing with. You know?
Oh, I heard that too.
You know.
Okay. So I want you to get into who you are and what you do, just to put it out there on the floor.
I sure will. I'm a spiritualist and I'm an occultist and I'm gay and I'm a dominatrix. And, you know, that came to me kind of late in life, maybe a few years ago. And it came to me purely by accident,
Okay.
And I can't say really it was by accident. I was doing a lot of spell work to get myself out of the poverty that I was living in. And for years, I've had men that were trying to get me to dominate them. And I was never really into that. But you know, with spirit, it's going to keep bringing you back to that if it's something that you should be doing, maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to explain it in a way because it comes so naturally to me, but I didn't know it.
Here's what we want to do. Wait a minute, Sandy, because I want everything to come out. Then you're going to ask your question because I know you got some motherfucking questions.
I would like him to explain, though, for some people don't know what a dominatrix is or what they do.
Okay, I'm going to get to that in a minute. Because I just want to make sure everything is out. So, first of all, he's a dominatrix. He's a spiritualist. Are you originally from D.C.?
I'm originally from D.C., born and raised.
Okay.
Born and raised.
Wait a minute. He has motherfucking insight. There's no bullshit. There's no lies.
Exactly.
Right.
And we're going to talk about the breakdown of the darkness, the dominatrix. And we're going to bring up Marion Barry's son. We're going to talk about Maryland, energies of Virginia. Okay? So, Sandy, what are your questions?
First question I want to know is, because most people that know anything about dominatrix, like this is the first time I ever heard of a man being a dominatrix. So I am utterly fascinated, and I want to know.
And a black
first,
man.
Most definitely, yeah, most definitely. So can you kind of explain for people that might not know what a dominatrix does and associate a dominatrix is only with being female? Can you kind of give a little insight into that?
Okay, the part about, could you say that one more time about the part about being female, just so I'll be clear, because I want to be able to answer your question very clearly and precisely.
Well, you know, most people associate in you know, in that world, BDSM as dominatrix or doms being female, and I forgot what the male are called.
Oh,
so,
okay, I see what you're saying.
So
I see exactly what you're
saying.
Okay, yeah, I see exactly what you're saying. Well, you see, the thing is that the way that I dominate, just to give you an example of how I dominate men,
mm-hmm.
I dominate them while I'm dressed in drag. And I know I may be losing, I know I may be moving a little bit further into the show because we're going to get into all that too. But there are three, because the website, it's a website that I'm on, and there are certain parts and aspects of it, and there's so many different parts of dominating and stuff like that. But what dominating really entails is, for me, because I'm a phone sex operator, it's on the phone,
mm-hmm.
it's not person. So
it really entails
me having complete control over my client or a slave. And there's so many different forms of BDSM and domination. I mean, there's one part of domination where men like for you to financially dominate them, where you drain their bank accounts, for example. But
yes, I've heard of that.
Okay, it's a pretty much open forum for not just women, but for men and transgender or drag queens. So it's not just for women, because I know you said that they associate with women a lot, you know. But women do,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was a main. That was a main thing for women at one time, but now it's so many different energies that are involved in that, you know. But dominating, it's mainly you putting a person up under your spell or up under your mind control to get them to do whatever you want them to do. It's not so much about what we see physically, where people are gagged and, you know, put in leather and all that. It's more to it than that. It's more so about the mind and controlling a person's mind, at least from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
getting them to do what you want them to do. Does that answer some of your question?
That answers my question. Now, I have another question for you. I want to know, who mostly are your clients?
White men.
That's ridiculous.
White men.
Straight white men?
They say they are. They say they're straight, yes. Some of them are married. Some of them are even, I guess I can say this, some of them are Trump supporters. A lot of them are that, you know, if that. And the only reason I'm saying that is because people have an idea, not you ladies, of course, but people have an idea that Trump supporters or conservatives, rather. Conservatives, let me
and
say it that
not,
way, conservatives.
And they're not.
Exactly.
And they're not.
And right, they're not. They think that they're these, you know, uppity people who are on their, you know, high horse and they don't get down, honey. They get down, you know. They get down.
Well, this is what's very interesting. I'm sorry, but not to interrupt you because I'm listening.
No, fine.
And the funny thing is that we have BDSM, S&M, dominatrix, and you do it over the telephone. That is a different type of beat, and that takes a lot of skills, but that takes a lot of work. And what I mean by that means within your voice that you have a certain, how can I say, magic or spirit that you can actually turn people into like psychosis in a way. And that's a form of trickery. Some people say, well, that's a form of trickery. No, that's magic. Okay,
sure
because literally you're on the telephone and you're giving a fantasy, and that's a darker part of energy that's more of a Luciferian or satanic type of energy, because you've given an illusion, but it's a fake illusion.
You feel what I'm saying? So it Yeah, you don't have to get dressed and all that because you're in reality, you're mind fucking them in a what I call in a sex Pathonian way or a sex magic way, but it's done over the phone. Now that's the real magic right there. All that other shit you see, that ain't nothing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. That you summed that up perfectly. It is strictly on the phone. And see, I have two profiles on there. Let me tell you, ladies, this. I have two profiles on there. One profile, I'm dressed in drag that they see me where I can use my own picture. And then I have another profile where you can purchase pictures of models where I have a female's picture, but I do the voice. But they don't know any different.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, I have a client. I have a client in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and he's a professor. And he likes to be blackmailed. He has a family, you know. He likes to be blackmailed. So he sent me pictures of himself, of him having sex with one of them thuggish type of black men, because that's what he likes. You know, that's what he likes down there. You know, that's a whole different, you know, down there, them black men get down with them white men in them bayous and shit. You know, I'm being facetious when I say that, but you know what I'm saying. But he sent me pictures of that, and I used that against him, and I know where he works. I know his first name, his last name, where he lives. He gave me all of this information at my request, at my command, so I can hold this over his head, and he sends me money to my Cash App every month, and that's part of it as well, you know. So I enjoy that part of it, child. I like that part.
I like that part. now here's what I want to get into, and I want to get into the whole energies of D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, because those energies are what I call satanic and dark, and people underestimate the energies there. Just like I clowned and I said, in Maryland, you guys are too busy burning incense and trying to practice Islam and all these other Sour Patch religions with ice cream and cupcakes, and in reality, you have a whole Capitol and White House there where there's underground satanic energies popping off and orgies and all that shit and more. What I want you to bring in is the dark energies of D.C. and then get into Marion Barry and his son.
Can I ask Sandy a question first?
Sure.
Did I answer your question in clarity? Did you get the answers you wanted from me?
I did, and more.
Okay. Forgive Sandy. Forgive me if it's a little too graphic. You let me know, honey. I don't want to hurt your ears now.
No. You be you. You be you.
Okay. Well, first, let me say that I'm going to have to go back to, you know, before my ancestors even came to D.C., because, see, you know, I looked up my family. Let me say this first. I looked up my family history, and I found out that my relatives originated from Kentucky back in the 1800s. Now, I don't know what part of Kentucky. But what I do know.
This is black magic, which is satanic, Kentucky. Go ahead.
Here we go. And we can see, okay, we connecting the dots. Okay. And see, at one time, Virginia and Kentucky were connected, if I'm not mistaken. They were like a joint or something. If I'm not mistaken, I think they were connected. So my family came from Kentucky, and then they ended up in Virginia, and then they ended up in D.C. Okay. Now, a lot of people don't know, a lot of people may not know this, but D.C. was really not originally made for people to live in. It was originally made for people, for just the government. D.C. was originally only made for the government. And see, what they started doing was, if you go back to that case, it was an interracial couple that lived, I think it was the Mildred Loving case or something like that.
I remember that.
Right. They were living in Virginia, But because of the miscegenation laws at that time, or what they called them, you know, prior to Jim Crow, I guess, they made her move to D.C., and they let him stay in Virginia, the white husband. And they designed D.C. almost like what we call now a crab in the barrel type of place.
Okay.
So they pushed all of the black people.
Misfit.
What'd you say, honey?
I said misfit.
Yeah, right. So they pushed all of the black people who lived in, who probably had property and all types of things, they pushed them out of Virginia and probably out of certain parts of Maryland, and they just put them in D.C. with all of their functions and all of their and all of the problems that they had and everything like that. And you know what's interesting is that when it comes to a lot of dark shit that happens in D.C., it's very, very underground. There are not a lot of gay clubs in D.C. Number one, there are not a lot of gay clubs. There's not a lot of what we would call underground places that we can go in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So it's dark and it's really hidden. And it's really moved online. That's where a lot of shit happens, online, versus, you know, being in physical places. But when you
why do you think there aren't that many gay clubs in D.C.?
You know, Sandy, I really don't know, because when I was in my early 20s, there were a few gay clubs, but then I know why now, because of gentrification, and most of the gay clubs were black patrons, you know, patronized them a lot. So when Muriel Bowser, she's similar to y'all's mayor, London Breed, she's similar in nature.
Mm-hmm.
When she started coming in and taking power, when she became mayor, she began to gentrify D.C., not just on a physical level, but on a spiritual level, too.
Mm.
And when I say spiritual,
well,
can I
cut you off a little bit? Now,
interesting.
You said that there were very few black gay clubs, right?
And then this
mayor came in and gentrified. However, there's a subculture, and the subculture, and I talked about this, are the white men who are there, who are now connecting with the black brothers and fucking on them. And the black brothers are up there on the underground getting them coins and money from the white men. Because remember that whole shit that went on with Howard, and them white men was trying to go and walk their dogs on the campus and all that bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of them were coming from California, especially from San Francisco. And a lot of them were them hardcore, what we call leatherbacks or bears.
Right,
okay?
Pulling
in, because when you're talking about, hey, she pulled in a whole other energy of gentrification, she pulled in a hardcore sex scene. She pulled in a whole other gay scene, which is not the normal or what black people are usually, or black men most times don't get into, which is the whole bear and leather bag. That's a whole other scene of DC. Go ahead.
Exactly. And I want to, and you know what, you made me think about something. It's a lot of feedback on somebody's phone. I can't really hear. Somebody got a lot of feedback. Wait a minute.
Me.
Make sure it's not mine.
It's me.
Okay. But no, when we were talking, because I want to tie that into something else too. Remember when we were talking the other night, when we were talking about the show? And I was talking to you about Marion Barry's son and him having an issue using PCP and K2.
Yes.
You said something that really blew me away, and I never thought about that. But when you said it, it made perfect sense. You said, "Well, how the fuck is that happening when that's more so of a did you say Latino or something? I don't want to misquote you.
Yes, I did. Mexicans doing PCP, LSD, angel dust.
So that means that they are purposely coming into this area, and that's one of the ways that they're pushing out the blacks, by feeding the community that those types of drugs. That's a whole spell right there. Because I've never even thought about that
because people came from, now I want you to go talk about Mary and Barry and Barry's son so people can understand what you're talking about the PCP, okay?
Okay, sure. Okay. So let me get myself together, because you know that was a difficult time, child, but let me try to get myself together. Okay. So Mary and Barry had a son, and his name was Christopher Barry. And he and I had an intimate relationship with each other. It was very brief because he died. I met him in February of 2016, and he died in August. And he died of an alleged drug overdose. But here's the interesting thing that a lot of people don't know. You know, before he died, he told me a lot of stuff that really disturbed my spirit, and I never really talked about it too much publicly. And one of the things that he told me, and this goes back to something that you and I talked about too, I believe, he told me that he thought that they took his father out, Marion Barry, in 2014, because Marion Barry died in 2014. And even before, let me say this too, even before Marion Barry died, Christopher had a friend. He had a friend named A.J. Cooper, who was only like 33 or 34. He was very nice looking, and he was running for city council. And he died suddenly of a heart attack. Now, we know that type of stuff can happen, but you know, in for the sake of being called a conspiracy theorist, which I don't give a damn what people think about that, but at the end of the day,
whatever.
That was very strange, right? What the fuck ever? Excuse my language, but whatever. It was a damn. Oh, shit. At the end of the day, he was only like 33 or 34. He was in shape. He was in the military, and then he died of a heart attack. And what's very interesting is that the people, the councilmen that they have put in place, you know, in place, I guess you can say, of him, their energy is very weird and eerie, and I'm not going to be dark. It's just a weird type of energy, because darkness has a substance. It has a reason. But their energy is just off. It feels artificial. It does not feel authentic, and it does not feel like that black soul that we're used to in D.C. So that was one of Christopher's friends. And when he was telling me that, you know, he thought they took his father out, he also told me that if anything were to happen to him, that the people who were responsible would be the people who were responsible would get what was coming to them. And then he dies in August, and they could not get the story straight on how he died. There were so many conflicting reports on how he died and so many different things. And then, to add insult to injury, they wrote this disgusting article in the Washingtonian called "The Tumultuous Life and Lonely Death of Marion Barry's Only Son." And listen to those words, "the lonely death."
Damn.
So,
you okay?
I came to the conclusion. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm just trying to get my thoughts here. But thank you for asking. What I came to the conclusion of is that was a whole ritual, his death. Because at the same time, see, I pay attention to these symbols and these signs that a lot of people don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a death of another young man that lived in Ferguson, Missouri, named Darren Seals. Now, he was killed execution style. They never found out who killed him. And he died maybe a month, not even a month after Christopher did. And Darren Seals was speaking out against gentrification, and he was also speaking out against the LGBT community because how they had hijacked the Black Lives Matter movement. Because if I'm not mistaken, he was a major activist in that. And you know, let me just say this for the record.
Remember, yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. right, right. Now, however he felt about gay people or whatever, that's not my concern. I'm not
and
that emotional.
And they start killing off a lot of those Ferguson
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes. And whatever his issue, what I was going to say was the LGBT community, I don't consider myself a part of that because, number one, it doesn't benefit me as a black man, number one. And mm-hmm. number two, I think that it's very racist in how they handle things. I mean, look at what Joe Biden is doing. He put a white transgender person as the health secretary, and he put a gay white man as the secretary of transportation of Pete Buttigieg. So he doesn't mm-hmm. have any gay black people in his cabinet. So that's why I say LGBT is not for me. Because it doesn't benefit me in any way, and that's just another political group that they've used spells and all types of stuff to bamboozle some gay black people and black people in general, you know? Mm-hmm. And not to mention, they're very disrespectful towards black women, very much so. And mm-hmm. I don't get down like that. I don't like that.
So with the energy with Marion Barry's son. What are you connecting? What are you thinking that happened to him?
What I think happened to him was, see, here's the thing. Christopher was speaking out against gentrification in D.C. as well. That's where I was going to go with it. He was speaking out against gentrification. And you know what's funny? His name is Marion, like his father, but his middle name is Christopher, you know, and his last name is Barry. And he was speaking out against. He was speaking out strongly against gentrification in D.C., and not only that, around the time that I met him, he was trying to get a school out here in Southeast D.C. called Frank Ballou Senior High School. He was trying to get that changed over to Marion Barry Senior High School because Frank Ballou was a racist. A lot of these schools here in D.C., and I'm sure it may be the same thing in San Francisco, a lot of these schools are named after racist white men. And having that energy alone in D.C. is enough to keep black people fucked up because you're going to these educational institutions that are named after racists. That energy is still there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he was bringing that to the forefront. But before he died, he had did a video on Facebook. And he was talking about it. He did a video on Facebook before he died, and he was talking about, you know, the police brutality and everything that was going on in 2016 at that time. And he was telling people not to be bamboozled by what you see on TV and to be true to yourself and stuff like that. He was really giving out a good message. And then maybe not even a month later, he was dead. 3 weeks later, he was dead. And what's so interesting was he called me maybe a few days after he did that live video on Facebook, and I forgot why, but I wasn't able to talk to him. And he was dead 3 weeks later. Now, what's interesting about all of that is this. He has a stepmother. Not his, like I said, stepmother. Her name is Cora. And going back to when Marion Barry was first set up, because he was set up, that was a setup when they set him up in that cell. See, that family has had agents implanted in it for such a long time to destroy it. Because truth be told, Marion Barry and his son, they were the heart and soul of D.C. They were like the guardians of this city. That's what they were. And when they took out Christopher, it totally destabilized the energy here in D.C. I felt it because he and I had a very close spiritual connection with each other. I'm not going to say no soulmates and all that because to me that's too much whitewash, watered down stuff. We had a really close spiritual connection even within the short period of time that I knew him. But after he died, I noticed that the energy here became very, very low vibrating. And that, after he died, that is when they really started gentrifying. I mean, they started tearing down all parts of old D.C. Where I used to live in uptown D.C., it is totally gentrified. It's nothing but Mexicans up there now. They own the stores. Yeah,
Mexican.
Nothing but I was raised on a street called Kennedy Street, and Kennedy Street at one time was the upper echelon street for black people. That was where black people, you know, really came to raise.
Stop right there.
Sure, sure.
Now, and there's some familiarity going on with the Mexicans. I'm not saying Latinos. I said Mexicans. Where everywhere they go is gentrification, and then they'll tear up a city. The next thing you know, they're bringing in their patrons of death and their botanicas and their energies. And then black people are misplaced and displaced. Okay? And a lot of the Mexicans are the white Mexicans who do not practice indigenous magic, but they practice a different type of magic that is against the black community. Now, D.C. was majority black, and now it's gentrified, and you got all this shit going on. Was very interesting, and it's kind of similar. I'm going to peep this game, Sandy, like San Francisco. What's his name? And I keep calling him Gung Hei Fat Choi. What's his name?
Shrimp Boy.
No, y'all, just bear with me for a minute. What's his name? You know who I'm talking about.
Shrimp Boy. Yes, yeah,
okay.
Shrimp Boy.
Shrimp Boy. The same thing happened in San Francisco when there were what we call maybe the heart of San Francisco or the Asian community, the kind of the lead people just died. Then they went off the hinges with all this gentrification and all this shit. They either died or they put them all in jail. Next to your niggas getting arrested and everything. The same thing is happening in New York. And it's always a whole bunch of Mexicans involved. Mexicans in San Francisco, Mexicans in New York, now in D.C., which is very off-brand. And they bring in a whole other magic. Hold on. You just said PCP. Shall we proceed? They bring in the drug game.
And don't forget K2.
PCP. Which, explain what that is. Because I think that's what more in the gay community, but that doesn't matter because black men and black women are hitting up that. Explain what drug that is that's taking over DC.
Yeah, I never heard of that.
PCP, it's embalming fluid. It's what
we
they put in
that,
dead
but,
people.
But,
oh, you know that? Okay,
yes,
okay.
I think you said something about the K2. I know that because we live in
K2.
California.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. K2 is like a synthetic form of marijuana. It's fake, and you can get you can in certain parts of D.C. in the poor neighborhoods, mm-hmm. like where Christopher was living at, you can get that at the store, and they put all types of shit in that. They put potpourri in it, all types of stuff, you know, incense, all types of stuff, y'all. All types of stuff, ladies, they put in that. And, you know, that type of stuff, of course, is not made for human consumption.
Oh, wow.
We have a caller, so we're going. So let's see what they actually going to speak the hell up, though. Wait just a minute.
Okay.
Don't be calling no bullshit because it's getting good.
Hello, caller. Okay, they ain't saying shit. Hello? Okay. So anyway, that's very interesting because if you remember, that almost sounds similar to that shit that was going on in Florida. Remember when people were kind of going off the hinges and crazy and eating faces and all that shit?
The bath salt you're talking about? Yeah, and it was. And what's so interesting is that when he died, they said that he had went outside. Like I said, the stories were conflicting, but they said that he had smoked some PCP mixed with the K2, And he went outside, and he just he started acting really erratic and crazy, and then he just he collapsed. But see, here's where it gets tricky. See, I don't think he I think they helped him die, because I always read the lines, and my spiritual eyes telling me nah. And the fact that you even asked me to even talk about him, that lets me know that his spirit is not resting. It ain't resting.
Mm.
That lets me know. And they said that they got his pulse back in one of those articles that I read after he passed away, because, see, I didn't go to his funeral because of the nature of our relationship and because there were people there that I, let's just say, I probably wouldn't be here talking to you all now. They probably would have me under the jail. So I didn't go. I didn't go, nevertheless.
Oh,
yeah, and it was, yeah, thank you. And it was a political, it was more politically and ritualistic in nature. But they said that they got his pulse back, but then they couldn't keep his pulse. And I don't believe that. What I personally believe and what I personally know is that they probably gave him something to take him out in that ambulance. I don't think he made it to the hospital alive. They got his pulse back in that ambulance, and they got the orders or whatever to take him out. And if that's conspiracy theory, not talking to you ladies, but talking to anybody, if that's conspiracy theory, who gives a fuck? That's what I know. They took him out.
But you know what? But I'm going to say this to you, because I want to talk about Mary and Barry very, very quick. I remember as a child hearing about Mary and Barry, like he was the pinnacle of the mayor in D.C. Then to hear he got on crack reminded me of Huey Newton, how they got him on crack and set him up.
Right.
That's the same thing that happened to Mary and Barry. They set him up with the drugs, meaning not saying, we understand he's an adult, we understand what he does, but to have that, it was the same thing happened to Huey Newton, like you know, with him being part of the Black Panther Party and everything, it's always the activists. Like some of the activists end up getting on heroin and all this shit. But that is the government, and I had to go back with like the CIA and all that get involved, and then get all of these stronger, I say, activists or who would be against certain stuff on these damn drugs. And then
exactly.
I heard the same thing, that was a setup, and his death was a setup, and I heard it was many people behind it, but as you see today, to bring D.C. where it is today, okay, even Maryland, you know, because the bottom line is, and the reason why I connected them dots with Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. is because those are the three underworlds. Okay?
Right.
See, people underestimate Virginia, but Virginia is an underworld. Okay, of sexual energy, drugs, manipulation, and more. Okay, which ties into even Philadelphia. Maryland has a whole sexual energy popping off that people don't even get. Then you wonder why people are fucked up there, when in reality the Black people are supposed to be practicing dark magic, and it is the history.
Right.
Now, what you just explained of the history of putting the misfits in D.C. reminds me of the U.K. pushing their criminals into Australia.
Okay?
Because Australia is off the hinges, but the U.K. would send their criminals or whoever to Australia, and that was their misfit, okay?
Wow.
Now, the interesting part of it is that the whole underworld of D.C., people be looking at California, Los Angeles, and whatever else, but D.C. is the capital of underworld shit popping off.
Absolutely.
Right there.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that summarizes it perfectly, you know, because it's so much shit that pops off in D.C. See, when I hear you talk about, your hometown in California and, you know, even Los Angeles sometimes, and I'm like, the shit here in D.C. is worse, because the energy here is so... It's so dense now. It's a low vibrating. I like to call it the soul is gone out of D.C. That's the perfect way that I can describe it.
That's
the soul is gone. And
that's too bad.
Yeah, the
okay,
soul
I'm
is gone.
I'm going to answer some of these because there are calls coming in. I'm going to answer this one. Let me see what this is about. Just a moment.
Okay. All right.
Wayward, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, do you have a question?
Well, actually, I just have, I know you said, you just said something about, like, Virginia is very, very, like, demonic and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to, I got pulled over a month ago, and I got pulled over by this white cop, and he, like, when he was approaching my vehicle, he, like, slid his finger in a sexual way on the back of my truck before he approached
what?
My vehicle. And it just gave me, like, very, like, sadistic
what?
Type of, that type of energy it gave me. So that was just something I experienced.
That was some oddball shit. Thank you.
Yep.
What you get pulled over for? What did you get pulled over for?
I got pulled over for speeding.
Oh.
If you don't mind me asking you, what part of Virginia are you in? Are you in like Arlington, or if you don't mind me asking? You're in Arlington.
Stafford, and it's very racist.
Stafford. Oh, you said Stafford.
Oh.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense why that would happen. Did you say he touched you in a sexual way?
No,
his car.
So like when he was coming up, like when he was coming up behind like my car, he put his finger like on my brake light, pretty much.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Like he like
okay.
twirled.
Maybe he wanted to slit on that butt crack and open it right up and do some other shit. I'm just saying because that's because well, you know I'm gonna go to the left. You know I'm gonna go to the left.
I'm
going to
keep listening.
Because he said he slid it.
Yep.
Okay. Because that sounds like some butt crack shit. Wait a minute. Here's some more callers. Let's see if they got something to say. Wait a minute.
He wanted to slide some cheeks open.
Basically.
Hello?
Yes. Hi.
Hello.
This is Wayward.
How's it going, ladies?
Good. How's it going with you?
I'm good. I grew up in Virginia, but I live out in the Bay Area now. And I wanted to
call okay.
you. Virginia is very racist. But at the same time, I think we have to look at the fact that the capital of the Confederacy is also in Virginia. So there's a lot of shit that goes along with that. So you have the capital of the Confederacy, you have D.C. in the middle of it, and Maryland is pretty much considered, I guess, would have been the northern part of it. So you have all of those energies coming together in one place. So, I mean, as far as, like, the sexual deviancy, there is a lot of sexual deviancy that go on in Virginia, but it's very underground. Nobody talks about it. Like, you're gay. Nobody asks about it. Don't say anything about it. It's kept under wraps. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it was one of the things that as I got grown, I had to get out of Virginia. I was like, I couldn't do it because it'll smother you if you stay there long enough. And a lot of people are just like docile. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of blacks don't like it there. They move up to D.C. or they move down to Atlanta. I know a lot of my friends right now, they go down to Atlanta because they could just be free. They go to Atlanta and they have all this recreational sex. I had a friend that I was talking to a few days ago, and he was telling me he had like 5 different dick appointments in 48 hours in Atlanta.
I've
you
heard
can't
about
do that,
that.
Yeah,
I've heard about that.
A lot of people
that.
Go to Atlanta. But I also want to talk about, the BDSM because I heard that earlier, and I wanted to touch bases on that. For me, growing up in Virginia, like, one of the things that I did was a lot of phone sex because it was easier to just, like, not being seen out in public and, you know what I'm saying, doing certain things like that. Nowadays, I've recently got back into it because I feel like too many people out here fucking each other. You know what I mean? And if everybody out here fucking each other, I don't want that those different energies. So to me, it's just easier to, you know what I'm saying, give somebody a fantasy, beat my dick, bust a nut and go on about my business versus, you know what I'm saying, being attached to people. But it's different. But what I learned out here in the Bay Area is that, I mean, just being out here is that it's the same underground stuff goes on here. It's a lot of gay for pay here. You know what I mean? And I mean, that's pretty much it. But that's really what it is.
Okay. Thank you, caller.
Wow.
Thank you. I got one more person on the loose. Wait a minute. Sorry, Sandy.
I didn't know the phone sex was so popular now.
Hi.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
I love your show a lot from your Wayward Witch Renegade. You're welcome. I remember on someone's YouTube show, a caller talked about how in Washington, D.C., there's a lot of underground child sex trafficking.
Mm.
And I never knew about that. Yeah. And also L.A. and New York City, and they kidnap the kids from impoverished neighborhoods, I heard. So...
Okay. So what do you have to say about that? Thank you, caller.
You're welcome. I feel like it's really sick. I never knew about this until I think in one of your old shows, you talked about the child sex trafficking ring.
Yes.
Stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. It's really sick. And also the caller talked about the CPS being involved with that also.
Oh, well, CPS. Definitely. CPS.
Yeah. That was mind-boggling to me.
Child
protective
services, all of that.
Yeah.
They all involved in selling your children and shit. And we don't even know where the little Mexican kids are that they went and took from their parents, right? And had them up in ICE, right? Shit, we don't even know where they know the Haitian kids went during that years back during the damn earthquake, and they were picking up the Haitians. Yeah, remember that? And them Haitian kids ended up missing, and people didn't get their kids back.
Oh, wow. And my family's from Haiti, so I have family members in Haiti, but I didn't get to ask them about that. I didn't even know that was going on.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's
bad. Swoop up on them kids. Thank you, caller.
Yeah.
So what do you think about what that call is? It's like so much energy going on. So I knew about Virginia being dark, but can you address some of the stuff that they're talking about?
Well, you know, the young man that called in, well, actually both of the two men that called in when they were talking about Virginia and that whole energy with Virginia, Virginia, Stafford County, anywhere that's outside of anything outside of D.C. for about an hour is racist. But here's the thing. D.C. is a very covert racist place. Remember, we have symbols that are here that honor racist people, especially in our educational institutions. Let me just say this right quick, too, while I'm talking about that. I went to a high school called Calvin Coolidge Senior High School, and Calvin Coolidge, I think he was a racist, too. He's one of them presidents. I think he was racist. And this was in the 90s. This was in the 90s. I'm 41 now. This was in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they would not, even in the 90s, they would not let us come in the front entrance of the school. We had to walk around. Child, let me tell you.
What?
Let me tell you, I hated that motherfucking place. And I'm going to tell you something. That's when I knew that something wasn't right about the energy in D.C. But this was in the 90s. They would not let us come in the front entrance of the school. They made us walk all the way around back in the parking lot through the entrance where the cafeteria was. They would not let us come in or out of the front entrance of the school. And if you were caught doing it, you would get some type of discipline for it. You might get suspended or something. Now, that was in the 90s.
Wow.
And see, here's another thing, too, that's very interesting. The way black people treat each other in D.C. is deplorable. That racist energy, it has permeated the subconscious minds of black people. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I remember years ago when I was on the bus, and I'm going to get to the lady that called in too, but I just got to say this because this is all about the energies of this area that I live in and I've been born and raised in. I remember years ago when I was on the Metro bus, there was a guy actually from California, and he was sitting in the in one of the back seats, and there was a guy trying to get off of the bus, and he was being real nasty, and the guy from California said, "Man, all you got to do is push the door, and the door will open." So the guy from California, this was back in the early 2000s, he said, "I don't know what it is about D.C." He said, "But the black people here act like they hate each other." I said, "That's not an act." And I was around 21 or 22 at the time. I said, that's not an act. That's very true. That is very true.
Damn.
So it's like,
I would never expect that.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Let
it
me get the other sorry. Two callers, because
sure.
I want you to
sure.
write a note, because I needed to react to answer some of these questions. Let me see.
Okay.
Caller? Oh, are you in the shower?
Hello?
What the? Hello?
Can y'all hear me?
Are you in the shower, though?
No.
Nope.
Girl, I'm at work. I'm about to go in the bathroom real quick. I'm at work, child. I'm about to go in the bathroom. So, real quick.
Okay.
Real quick, though.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about DC real quick. So, it was a couple of things. I wanted the guests to kind of touch on the trans energy and politicians in D.C. Now, from what I know, mm-hmm. now, this is personally, I know trans women that, you know, from everywhere, and when they go to the East Coast, when they go to D.C., they get that money. When they go to Philly, they get that money. And what they always say is that they always see hella politicians, and it's always these white men. Of course, it's everywhere, but I'm saying specifically in D.C., how the politicians and basically what's up with the fascination with black trans in D.C. and just like DVC and just like the Hershey bar and just like what's up with that. I also wanted to you talked about this before. You talked about Maryland and it being an incest city. And I haven't heard y'all talk about that, so I really just wanted to put that out there: the incest of Maryland and the trans energy with politicians, huh?
I think because you was at work, because I talked about that shit in the beginning of the conversation, but I repeat.
See?
Well, I will say this.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Well, I just want to say this. Oh, okay.
Okay, wait a minute. No, because I have another call. I need you to write your notes, because you got a lot of stuff to answer. Okay, even remember the energies between what's the difference between trans? What's it trans? We talked about
trans.
Before. Hi, caller.
Right. Right.
You know this is
caller.
This is the second parter. He's gonna have to come.
Hello.
Back.
Hello.
I still got questions.
Hi.
Hi. Can you guys
hi.
Hear me?
Yes.
Hi.
Okay.
How are you?
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are y'all doing tonight?
Good.
Good.
So I just wanted to piggyback on what he was saying about our school system here in D.C. I'm from D.C.,
yes.
born and raised. So,
okay.
And he is so right about, because the same thing he said that they was doing in the 90s about they landing them back, about how they had to let the kids out or go in the front. That's how they was doing us in the early 2000s.
Wow.
Yes.
What the fuck is
unbelievable.
That
and the school system here, our school was like, it's so crazy. Oh, my God. It was
how is
so
that okay?
crazy. Yeah. And
how is that okay?
I also wanted to say something real quick about the K-2 that happened. Because I remember when it was first, like, popping off, at least when I first started here in high school. And it was crazy. One girl, because they used to smoke in the detention. The school was wild. So they, this girl, they had to call the police. This girl started having a seizure after somebody gave it to her, after she smoked the K2. And
wow.
I was just like, oh, wow. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you, caller.
You're welcome.
Oh, go ahead. Okay,
oh, and I was
going to
say,
oh, well, oops. Well, you have a lot to answer.
I see.
Because There's a lot of please answer to the best of your ability. But the first
I will.
I
will.
Please, and make sure, and then remember we was talking about that, you was explaining to me the difference between, was it the TSs and
I got that right here. I have that right here, right. Yes.
Okay.
You want me to do that first, or you want me to just answer the question?
Do that first, then answer the question, because I want that to be very clear to motherfuckers.
Okay, see, here's the thing, you know, people, you know, we look at things through the lenses of, as you would say, principalities. Mm-hmm. But we never examine things from our spirit and what our spirit is telling us about things. Now, for a long time, my spirit has been nudging at me like, wait a minute, transgender and transsexual are two different things. And I think most people understand that, I'm assuming most people understand that they are two different things, and maybe not. But they are. A transgender person is somebody, you know, let's just get the textbook definition out of the way first. A transgender, before I get into the spiritual meaning of it, a transgender person, textbook-wise, is someone who identifies with the opposite sex or the opposite gender. But when it starts getting into the spirit and not the physical part, transgenderism is not really about living your life as one gender. It's about really using both sides of those energies, what we call masculine and feminine energy. And let me say this too, and this is very important. Because a lot of times feminine energy gets, and I've been, this is the main thing I wanted to say about this before I finish. Feminine energy gets blamed for a lot of things, and that's not fair. They'll say, oh, that guy is feminine. No. That's not no feminine energy when somebody is trying to be mawkish and trying to mock a blood. That's not feminine energy. That's effeminate energy. And it should not be confused with feminine energy, because effeminate energy is of a lower vibration and frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So that shouldn't be confused. For example, a T.S. Madison, that is not feminine energy. That's effeminate energy.
That's effeminate. Okay.
Effeminate. And that's more artificial. A person, I'm going to use T.S. Madison as an example. T.S. Madison is still considered a transgender person because T.S. Madison has not had the surgery, as far as I know, to have his member cut off. Okay.
No.
So T.S. Madison is considered transgender or man, whichever one you want to call it. Transgender people are more like the drag queens and the cross dressers, like you said on your video, who pay homage to Black women and your beauty, or whatever the case may be. And Sandy, she had said that you had seen something that had kind of made you feel a ways when they said that Madison had intergalactic beauty. Well, let me tell you something. That's what that is designed to do. Because they want to push Black women out of the way, but they want your energy. They want your energy, but they want to push you out of the way. Because that makes me feel a ways too, as a gay man, because it's like these types of transgenders are coming in and they're trying to take over and they're trying to be the face for everything, and they're propping up their energies in these rituals to try to wipe out other people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Transgenderism has nothing to do, truthfully, transgenderism has nothing to do with being gay or straight. It has to do with the energies that you work with. There's a book that Bobby Hemmett recommended when I was looking at one of his videos, and it's called From Fetish to God. And it talks about bisex deities in a certain part of the book. And what it said was is that these deities, they work with both parts of their energy. Now, like with me, for example, I consider myself a transgender person. I don't live like a woman every day or anything like that. But what I'm able to do is, in my phone sex business, in my dominatrix business, I'm able to portray whatever gender I want, just using my voice and my energy. And it does not have anything to do with trying to take over the black woman's place. That's the difference between, you know, real androgynous transgender people and artificially induced people. Let's just say it that way, if that makes sense.
So let me ask this question because I want you to answer those other questions, especially the person who talked about the, I guess, trans making money in certain areas, especially in D.C. Now, I know,
right.
and you brought this up to me during Zoom, and you said black women, and I know we kind of went to the left, but that's what happened. But
right.
You said that you believe that black women are the ones condoning that, and Sandy said the same thing to me. And when I heard you say that, and I heard Sandy say that to me, the same exact thing, you know what popped in my head? Church. When I
Bingo.
Was in church, the black women condoned and protected the gay guys, the trans guys. It didn't matter. So when we get a lot of this energy of protection, it comes from church, okay?
Right.
If you grew up in the church, you automatically have what? The gay boys. You don't let anybody go and say some fucked up shit. You know the fucking what's up. So when we
right.
look at black women protecting these energies, not only these energies of, I'll call it millennials who are on quicksand, but we also have the church community, okay? And
right,
especially
right.
the black
That's true.
Women, okay?
That's
so,
true.
So you saying all that, what do you think about, if you can remember, some of the questions and some of the energies that people were putting out, especially with the individual who called and talked about the trans making money in D.C. with this whole underworld. What do you think about that in Virginia
or
whatever?
That's very true because, see, a lot of the and this is no judgment, just this is just fact. So hope nobody don't get in a butt crack about this because it's just facts. A lot of the trans
they do fuck them.
Yeah, that's what I say. Fuck them. I don't care. A lot of the trans women, they prostitute. So that's a totally different energy. That's a totally different energy and vibration. And the reason that white men are drawn to, like he said, chocolate trans women or whatever, the same reason they're drawn to black women, the same reason they're drawn to black men, because they want that energy. They want that energy because, and see, the thing about that too is, and this is something that, just keep this in mind, the thing about that too is our melanin is like a sponge. And see, a lot of times, and I'm going to apply this to black men, and I talked about this too somewhere else, I'm going to apply this to black men. You know, especially because, you know, there are a lot of black men who like to date interracially and, you know, especially back in the early 2000s, there were a lot of black men involved. I mean, because I look at a lot of porn too, shit, Pornhub, and I look at a lot of those, what do they call them, gangbang, black men go into white, where they go into white people's homes and they not only have sex with the wife, but when the camera's turned off, the stipulation is, if you fuck my wife, you got to give me some, too. See, that's what a lot of these white men do, too. You know, you fuck my wife, you got to give me some dick, too. And see, what they don't understand is melanin is like a sponge. And whatever is going on with those white people who could be on a low vibration, which a lot of them are, just facts, if they're on a lower vibration, you're pulling all of that in. And I don't care who it offends. That's just what it is. I was reading something by Dr. Africa where he was talking about how our melanin is like a sponge and how it can affect us, you know, with the different people that we come in contact with, especially when you're coming in contact with low-vibrating people. You know, and I'm not saying all white people are low-vibrating, but a lot of them are.
But it's
you know, those
no, because no, but let's talk about this for a moment because it's very interesting. Because somebody called me today, and it's funny that you bring this up. And they were telling me about those apps. And I was discussing with Sandy earlier. Was it like Jack and all that, right? And
right.
he was yeah. saying that he's a gay male. And he said he's looking for other gay men. But he said, and he's in Alabama, he said he's finding more and more couples are looking for, they call she-males or trans males, meaning there's a supposed heterosexual male with a heterosexual woman who's looking for a threesome. They're always looking for a threesome, but now it's this new energy where they're pulling in the trans male or the she-male,
yeah.
and where the husband is doing it, I guess, and the wife. And I asked,
yeah.
I said, are these black people? What's going on? He said, well, what he's seeing is it could be a white couple, but they can have a black trans. Then he
right.
said it's the same thing with the black people. So it's like this whole subculture and culture, and the bottom line is that it's a pulling of souls and frequencies and energies. And we have
yeah.
and the bottom line is that people not understanding that. So let's say you up there doing it to a female, you're a female. You're pulling all of that energy that they have and who they are. And who they had sex with. It's kind of like back in the 80s, if you remember, when they said whoever they have sex with, you're having sex with it, okay?
Uh-huh.
You're
yep.
having sex with everybody that they're having sex with. So that is a frequency, and we are melanated. And the darker you are, the more melanated you are, and the more power that they want from you. That's why you're always seeing white people with African people. The more dark you are, that's what they want.
Exactly. That's what I was getting ready to say, because you notice a lot of those videos on those porn sites, nine times out of ten, the men are very, very melanated. They're very, very dark and very
yes,
melanated.
It's called
they are requesting. Cuckolding, right. And it's something else that they call it, too. You actually had a term for it, too, something buck.
What did I call it?
Bed bucks or something like that.
Oh,
something that you called
yeah.
it, bed bucking or
yeah.
something like that. And you
yeah.
know, here's the interesting thing with that, too. See, a lot of the black men that do this, they're not getting paid for it like the trans. See, they're doing it because they just want some white pussy. That's all. They just want some white pussy. And, you know, a lot of them, they get so desperate for white pussy that they're willing to do anything. But, again, they don't understand you're doing this for free, okay? You're not even getting paid for it. You're giving these white people your energy. And then whatever energy that they are going through, whether it be negative or not, most of the time it's negative, you're absorbing that, and then you waddling back down misery lane with no money in your pocket, mad at black women. Now, come on now.
So let me ask
so,
you this
question.
So in D, cool. I'm sorry, so in D.C., we had two things. So the person who came fly by night and was in the shower and shit and went in the bathroom, he wanted me first to talk about Maryland across the board, about the incestuous energies that are there. And the bottom line is that the incestuous energy came forth during slavery, okay?
Right.
And it came during slavery because they needed to reproduce. And then white folks didn't care who they reproduce with, dogs, cats, sheep, whatever. So the bottom line
right.
is that they will blindfold or cover their heads. And then the sons, nephews, whoever, would have sex with the mother, sister, whoever, then reproduce. Okay?
That's
however,
that's
you
right.
understand if you have the same DNA and the same chromosomes, that can cause also a mental illness and mental disability. Okay? So we have
right.
a whole generation of, I'm going to call Marylandites, who have a form of mental illness and not even knowing it. For example, parts of Baltimore and Maryland is off the hinges. But is that due to the generational energy, or let's keep it layman, curses from the past of having incestuous relationships with families? That's a curse.
Yes.
So you have a whole city cursed and energies of DNA of the same chromosome that causes a psychosis and energy,
right.
Okay, which causes the DNA to become weak. Then they may go to D.C. or everywhere else and intertwine with other energies, which can cause a domino effect of psychosis, okay?
Yeah.
So we have to look at the curses. The great example is the comic Monique. You see her psychosis. You see what she accepts. You see her confusion. You see how she got down, okay? Because her brother, one, was having sex with her, but she came from the chromosome of incestuous energy. That's Mary.
Right.
And that weakens our DNA across the board, okay?
Yes.
In some cases, having the same DNA causes what? Down syndrome. Stop fucking playing. So it causes mental disorder, okay? Those are curses and spells put on us, okay?
Yes.
So then as you talked about the darker energies in D.C., you had a whole, in the early 90s or 90s, you had a whole download escapade going on there, okay?
Right.
What the fuck was going on with that? Now he's bringing in transgenders and shit. What the fuck is going on with us sexually? Everything is connected to sex and melanin. Sex and melanin. Look at the industry. Melanin, sex, black people fucking, black women fucking, black men fucking, females fucking, everybody's fucking, but it's always dealing with melanin.
Always. And just to touch on what you were saying, you know, it's funny that you mentioned Baltimore, because that is absolutely accurate. Baltimore was one of the main slave breeding ports. And that's one of the reasons why Baltimore is in the mess that it is now. And I'm going to tell you something. If you notice, I notice it because I live here. People from Baltimore, they have a certain look in their eyes. Their eyes have a bulging, like, them, and you can usually tell when there's been a lot of generational incest, or when the genetics are too closely linked. It's something with the eyes, like you say, they, you know, people with Down syndrome, not making fun of anybody, let me say that first, but you know, people with Down syndrome, it's real, you know, people with Down syndrome, they have these bulging type of, you know, eyes, and when you look at a lot of
retardation. Excuse me.
Exactly.
In the words of my grandmother, Ms. Marion, she's on the verge of retardation. And that's what the fuck you saying. You saying them niggas up in Baltimore on the verge of retardation and got that look. Please proceed.
Yes. Yes. Basically. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
You being nice. He's being Virgo. You're being nice.
Right. Right. I'm in my I'm being Virgo right now. Right now.
Virgo.
Right now I'm in
he
Virgo.
He don't want to insult anybody. He does not want to insult anybody. But I know what you're saying. You're literally saying, hey, they have a certain look to them that's similar to Down syndrome.
Exactly. And they even have a museum. I went there when I was in school. They have a museum up in Baltimore, and I'll never forget it. It's called the Black Wax Museum. I think all major cities probably have, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. But Baltimore has one that's you know, really well known. And it's a display of and a reenactment of wax statues that show you what children went through once the boats arrived here from Baltimore. They show you images of little girls being assaulted by big grown white men. They show you the brutality that black people had to go through once those ships brought them to the ports over there in Baltimore. You know, so the incest is definitely Baltimore. That's one of the main places I've seen in Maryland where that is absolutely true. So nobody can deny that, because I knew a guy that lived in Baltimore that broke down and admitted to me that he was having sex with his mother. So I know it's true.
Oh, God damn.
That was heavy. God,
that wasn't
Virgo that time. That was my Leo. That was my Leo side. That was Leo.
Yes, that's Leo.
Woo!
That's Leo. But I'm gonna tell you another place. I'm gonna tell you another place a lot of incest goes on too. I know we're talking about.
Good shit.
So, you know, because I've come in contact with so many different people, you know, throughout the
year.
But, you know, another place that has a lot of incest, too, that doesn't get talked about is New York. Is New York. I talked to New York, too, yeah. And I guess that's not surprising, because New York and Maryland, in the grand scheme of things, is really not that far from one another.
They're not.
You know, so. And I think it's the East Coast in general that had these sex farms where they had black people, you know, reproduce with each other. And that really says a lot. And it really puts in perspective why D.C. and Maryland is the way it is. Now, what's interesting about Marion Barry, he wasn't a Washingtonian. He was born in Edabena, Mississippi. I might be saying that wrong. He was born in Mississippi. Washingtonian. And what's interesting was that a man who was an outsider literally was truthfully the heart and soul of this city, because the people that were already here are so dysfunctional and so damaged and broken. You know?
Wow.
Honestly.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Woo.
So.
And so.
But to answer,
so
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, what were you going to say?
No, go ahead. No,
I was
going to
say.
But this is back.
Okay. No, I was just going to finish answering the young man's question about the trans girls and stuff like that. So basically, you know, like I said, the white men, they like to be dominated by black people, but that's underground, underworld where I'm at. You know, that's where that's shown, because where I'm at, they're calling me their God, they're worshiping me, and all of these things, and that's truthfully their place to worship people like us, you all included. You know, and Sandy, you know, you have that voice too, where you could dominate. What a, you have that voice and that vibration too.
I'm gonna be a Leo and I'm gonna be quiet on that.
Okay.
Shenanigans on the under, because you know I'm like telling my shit.
Okay.
I got a question though. I want to ask you about the you remember the guy that was the shooter with the boy? Was it back in the 90s? I think it was the 90s.
Oh no, you're talking about the DC sniper in the early 2000s.
Yes. What do you think was up? What's the real story behind that?
Well, a lot of people were trying to say that there was some gay activity going on, but in that case, I don't think so. I think he was more so training him to do what he did. I don't think it was that they were trying to say that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there was anything going on with him sexually or with him in that older gentleman. I don't think so. That's not what I picked up.
In my opinion,
I think
that was orchestrated by the government. And
I think it was a brainwashing.
I think it was a brainwashing of him. I think it was a brainwashing of the young man. We really don't know who that older man was and what he was doing.
Right.
And to be honest with you, that's a precursor to a lot of shit that goes on. And we're looking at individuals like, well, why did they do that? Why did they do that mass shooting or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, remember when the black female crashed in the gate. Was it the gate at the it was at the White House?
At the White House, right.
That was orchestrated. She was brainwashed.
Yeah.
It was something going on with that.
Right. It was. They do a lot of illusionary shit here in D.C. A lot, like you said, this is the city of illusions. They do a lot of illusionary stuff. But going back to Lee Malvo and I think his name was John Muhammad for a minute. What's interesting was when someone, the lady that had called in that had talked about child pedophilia and stuff like that, she had mentioned something about CPS and how CPS ties into a lot of things too. Well, I think his name was John Muhammad, whatever his name was. Allegedly, his wife had taken the children away from him or something, and he could not children, and allegedly they said that is why he went on that spree, because he went over the edge. And that could very well be true, because who knows what really was going on with him and his wife. We don't know if she was doing something malicious. We don't know. We don't know. But when she took his children away from him, saying allegedly that's what drove him, you know, over the edge. And I say allegedly because I don't know for real. But that's what they were saying. That's what they were saying. I don't know if that's true or not, though.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay. So we've lasted longer than usual, and we're going to end it here. And Sandy, do you have any last words? And then we'll go to our guest with his last words. Go ahead.
I wish we couldn't end, because I still have more shit to ask. But that's gonna have to be another show, because I still don't think we touched on a lot of stuff. But what I would like to say is I would like to thank you for clarifying a lot up about the differences with the transgender and the transsexuals. There's a lot of more clarity. And I appreciate that, and I can understand a lot better. And I think a lot of people will understand a lot better, especially black women, because there's a lot of black women that are angry, like me, over
You have a right to be,
and it ain't cool. But
you have a right to be.
It doesn't help that there's black women that are, riding with that against biological women, which is not cool. So I thank you for clearing that up and speaking on it, and I appreciate that. So that's really all that I have to say for now.
Okay, your last word?
Okay. Well, thank you, ladies, for having me on. I really enjoyed myself, and I really hope I brought something to the table that was unique, and I hope I answered the questions in a way that you were satisfied with. And, just to say this to Sandy, you have every right to be angry, because at the end of the day, no trans person's beauty is intergalactic, okay, compared to a black woman. Nobody should be doing that. Because those are two different energies. You know what I mean? I could never be you or Miss Marion. I can't do that, because I'm a man. And no man should be compared to a woman anyway. You know, and again, that's not feminine energy, that's effeminate energy, and that can't be compared to your energy or Miss Marion's energy. That can't be compared.
Exactly.
So that's all I wanted to say.
And I'm just going to say this. It doesn't matter how many shows we have. It doesn't matter what it is. It will never be enough. It will never be enough hours. It will never be enough in a day. It will never be enough in a week. The bottom line is that there's so much to say. Okay?
Yeah.
And the bottom line is this. You said effeminate. That's almost like infinite. And infinite
not infinite, but infinite is death. Okay? Just like the earth is dead because we're in this infinite energy. And when you think infinite, that means death to me. Okay? That means murder, death, and no growth. So the bottom line is that we have to understand is that it doesn't matter how many shows we have, how much we talk about it, there will never be enough because it's going to be something else uprooting itself. There's so many dynamics to D.C., Maryland, now New York, Virginia, California, especially with black people, people as a whole, okay? And the bottom line is that we don't understand the dark natures of certain things, but at the same time, black people are ignorant to shit. And we don't even know how to use magic or our underworld or our darkness or our melanated energies to get our asses out of anything. What's very interesting is that other people are coming in, stealing our souls, stealing our frequencies, stealing our life force, and they're putting it over our heads. That's why it's very important for you to say, hey, they have a whole Mexican community over here. Meanwhile, PCP, LSD, and all that is coming in. Then you have a whole sex energy that's there that's underground, which is what? Leatherbacks and the white energy, okay? But at the same time, through your energy, you're teaching people how to use their voices and vibrations and frequencies to, as I say, mind fuck or use curses and spells and voices and frequencies and how to use and fluctuate one's voice to be. And you don't need to be in front of their faces to control them. It's all in your frequency. So I thank you so much for coming.
No
and
problem.
I hope you come back again.
Please no problem.
Do.
I will.
Freaky Tale.
I will. I will.
Okay?
I enjoyed myself.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
No,
thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.